So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. So our first reading this morning is about baptism. It's just one account of a baptism taking place in the New Testament. I'm sure you can think of some others. But we here in the 21st century, perhaps we think of baptism always taking place in much the same way as it does in our church services today. But there is a lot of variation in the Bible. Somebody once said to me, and it surprised me, and perhaps it shouldn't, because we all need to learn more, why wasn't Jesus baptized as a baby? Well, because he was circumcised in the Jewish tradition, and he gave baptism for all of us. In Matthew 28, he sends us all out in the Great Commission to baptize everyone in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Old Testament times, baptism wasn't the once and for all thing that it is today. People would go to be baptized, to be cleansed of their sin, and that's what was happening when people went to John the Baptist for forgiveness of sins, for that baptism to have their sins washed away. When Jesus went to be baptized, of course, he had no sin, but he went to indicate that he is one with us and that what we need, he provides. So, can anyone here remember their baptism? Yes, were you baptized as an adult? So that must have been very special. Yeah. And were lots of people here for you when that happened? 100. Oh, that's fantastic, isn't it? So quite often, I think people forget that baptism is available for everybody at any age. Because we think of baptism being a bit like this. And in my years of ministry, I think I've baptized 2 adults and hundreds of children. They're not all little babies like this. Quite often people bring older babies, toddlers, and sometimes a whole family. And that's lovely. So baptism isn't just for you, is it, boy? No. Okay. Although you have got your best outfit on, I can see that. So we'll pop him down here so that he can see what's going on and take part as he wishes, really. So before the baptisms that we know of in the New Testament, I've spoken about how people went to be baptized on a more regular basis, on an occasional basis, to be baptized. And it's all about this idea of being washed clean. And the prophet Ezekiel wrote, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols." And in last Sunday's reading, if you caught up with that, if you were here, if you caught up with it, if you weren't, it was about an Ethiopian official, the treasurer no less, who had learnt from the Apostle Philip about Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies of Isaiah. And he asked to be baptized straight away. Well, it was all very quick. There wasn't any anointing of oil. He didn't go to a baptism course. I mean, now we would say, "Christ claims you for your own. Do not be ashamed of Christ." No, that's right. You sit down. So it was a very simple and spontaneous event. They went down into the water, and that was that, really. Quite different from this morning's story. The lectionary only gives us part of the story. The piece which we heard follows on from Peter being called and taken to Cornelius' house. He was a centurion in the Italian cohort. He was a devout man, and he had a vision instructing him to send a message to Simon Peter, who was some distance away at Joppa, to ask him to come to his house and preach. Well, Peter had also had a vision, so he knew it was the right thing to do. And that's the point at which this morning's reading from Acts of the Apostles began. And that service, they wouldn't have called it a service. You see how I slip into this Church of England jargon too easily at times. How did that vary? What was different about that from the baptism of the Ethiopian man? Nobody wants to join in. That's all right. I've got the answers. I wrote them down. It involved more than one person. All who heard Peter's words were affected. And the people who were there, who had travelled with Peter to the centurion's house, they could see that something special had happened as well. It was a sort of group activity. There was that... It wasn't just Peter saying, yes, this is the right thing to do. There was that sense that the whole new church was saying yes to these Gentile people. And the other thing that was different was that those people began speaking in tongues as they received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. Whereas if you think of Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and God's word, that came after he was baptized. And the stories that we've just heard last week in this, they're about events which took place after Pentecost, of course. But we're hearing about them now to remind us, to prepare us as a foretaste of what we will celebrate afresh in a couple of weeks' time at Pentecost. The important thing about those readings, those baptisms, though, is about their inclusivity. The Ethiopian and Cornelius and his household, they were all Gentiles. And as I've said, we have been commissioned, all Christian people are commissioned to go out and, if we can, encourage others to be baptized. If there's anyone here who's not been baptized and would like to be baptized, have a word. Have a word with Anne-Marie. Everybody is called to be part of God's family. What we do in our baptism services today, affirming our faith in the triune nature of God, is that comes from that Great Commission. And that is how our understanding of God has developed since the very early days of the church, when baptism was normally in the name of Jesus. Philip had interpreted the suffering servant narrative to show how Jesus had fulfilled the prophecy so that the Ethiopian could be baptized. And Peter prepared Cornelius and all the people at his house for their baptism. He told them the whole story of Jesus' ministry and his passion, his death, his resurrection, and his command to preach forgiveness of sins in his name. And our gospel reading this morning, that reminds us of Jesus' overriding commandment that we should love one another as he has loved us. Such love can only come from God. And if we keep his commandments, we live, we dwell, we abide in his love and become his friends. It is God who chooses and invites, and it is for us to respond, to ask to say, yes, please. And I suppose that draws us back to Rogation Tide, because rogation is about asking. We tend to think of it about as just blessing the fields for those crops that will be grown in the coming season. But it is about asking for God's blessing on our fields, on our crops. And it's about asking here to accept, to be accepted, to accept that invitation. For St. Paul tells us, as many as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ, clothed with his love. And that's why I'm dressed in white underneath. The chasuble is, of course, that changes colour with the liturgical season. But underneath, clergy wear white because it's part of that being clothed with Christ idea. And that is why traditionally little ones wear white at their baptism. We are all clothed in Jesus' love. So let us always be ready to respond to that love by loving others as he loves us. Amen.